Forever, ever, ever, still, God. in remembrance of me. We find in Matthew chapter 26, starting with 26 through 28, it states, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come to partake of this bread to represent your Son's body that hung on the cross. And as we partake of it, Heavenly Father, let us remember the sacrifice that was given. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup that represents your Son's shed blood on the cross. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because through this we have the remission of sins. And if we live our life according to thee, we'll have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Scripture this morning will be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 through verse 37. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this day, for your goodness and for your mercy and for your blessings. As we once again open your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray that we apply what has been taught to our lives and continue, Lord, to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we get into our lesson on this morning, I have an important announcement to make to the members concerning the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We will be mailing out our worship service reopening guidelines. If you do not receive one within the next week, please contact one of the elders. Please understand how important it is that you read all the guidelines and be prepared to follow them. And so we thank you in advance for your cooperation. This morning, we're going to be talking about speaking life in your situation. The power that attitude has on life cannot be overestimated. It will be your success as well as your setback. Choosing your attitude starts with choosing your words. It starts with deciding to speak life over death. Speaking life is something that you and I have both heard many times. It is also one of those things that can be easier said than done. When things are going well, speaking the word of God can be easy. When you're going through a rough patch, it can prove to be difficult. I think that speaking life is an idea that is often misunderstood. Speaking life is about knowing and verbalizing that things are going to be okay in spite of your circumstances. Speaking life is letting others hear the words of God coming from your mouth. It means that regardless of how I feel, God's got it. Speaking the word of God is about striving for positivity, not just because you read it in a self-help book, but because you know that the Lord prevails in the end. Speaking life is important, not only for yourself, but for those around you. And the only way that we can lead others to Jesus Christ is through our decision to tell others about his teachings. When you find an opportunity to share the word of God with others, take it. Because you never know how much they may need the word of God. Sometimes we have to speak life even when we don't actually see it. There is power in speaking out in faith. When we speak out in faith, we can see the things that we really actually, that we want to come to pass. And if you believe it, you will achieve it. If you call out your purpose, then so shall you reach it. When the going gets tough, I encourage you to continue to speak life and to remember the plans that the Lord has in store for you. But how do you speak life in your situation? Number one, by speaking the word of God. You can't say just anything. Too many people are speaking defeat in their life. So when the devil comes my way and start messing with me, I just put the word of God on him. When you speak the word, you're actually putting God in the battle. Remember, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. But God told us to defeat the devil by rebuking him. And in order to rebuke him, you have to say something. David said in Psalm 119 in verse number 11, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee." When you look at the word hidden, in the Hebrew it means memorized. That means you should have the word memorized in your heart. Why? Because the word I memorize is the word I utilize. So when Satan comes up against you, saying you are defeated, Take the word of God. Fire back in him. Open your mouth and speak the word of God. Because it's the words that conquer the prince of darkness. It's the word that puts him in his place. So when Satan say you are defeated, say to him, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27 and verse number 1. When Satan whisper that you are no good, just tell him, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. When Satan tells the doctor to tell you you are sick and you're never going to be well again, fire back at him and say, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 103 and verse 1 through 3. See, we can curse ourselves with a word. We can curse our future with a word. We have to be mindful of how we speak about our lives and how we allow others to. But then secondly, we need to have the power of God. I know you're going through. I know the devil is trying to tell you that you're the only one going through, but you are not the only one that's going through. There are people that are listening that has been going through something worse than you ever gone through, but they are still making it. Your words shall either confirm your faith or they will deny your faith. Your words shall agree with what God has already spoken in his word, and then you shall refuse to be moved by circumstance that may arise. Someone said, I'm not moved by what I see or feel or hear, but I'm all moved by only what God's word has to say. And so this morning I want to leave with you just 10 powerful I can declarations to speak in your situation. Number one, I can do all things because of the strength and the grace granted to me. Philippians 4:13. I can run with endurance because God makes me stand on high places. Habakkuk 3 and verse 19. I can sleep in peace because my God will watch over me and my loved one. Psalms 4 and verse 8. I can walk through the darkest valley because God promises to never leave me alone. Psalms 23 and verse 4. I can rejoice because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Psalms 116 and verse 8. I can forget my painful past because the Lord promises to do a new thing in my life. Psalms 43 verse 18 and 19. I can hide in the cleft of the rock because God will fight my battles for me. Psalms 27 and verse 5. I can put my trust in Christ even when my own abandoned me, because he promises to never break his promises. Psalms 27 and verse 10. I can rest and wait on the Lord patiently, for my expectations come from him. Psalms 62 and verse 5. And then I can sing before God and not be overwhelmed. Psalms 40 and verse 3. So this morning, if I want to change my perspective about my situations, I need to first change how I speak about them. I need to change how I speak about myself. And so I'm here to encourage you. Stop saying I'm trying. Stop using the word broke. Stop using negative words to describe your current situation. Speak life to those dead situations in your life. I'm referring to anything in your life that is not fruitful. Your career, your love life, your purpose, your finances, your friendships, your relationships, whatever. Stop saying what you won't have. Stop saying what you can't do. Stop saying what always happens to you. Stop saying you don't know and start saying, I know a God that can handle any situation. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. So if you're listening this morning, you have been speaking defeat in your life, I challenge you to start speaking life in your situation. And if you're listening and have not obeyed the gospel, what is that gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Once you heard the gospel, believe it to be true. Romans 10, 17. Repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then you have to be baptized. Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is a burial. Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. The Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2, verse 47. The church that he built, Matthew 16 and verse 18. Purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. He is the head, the Savior, he loved it, and he's coming back for it, Ephesians 5, 23 through 27. Live faithfully unto death, Revelations 2 and verse 10. And if you're already a child of God, you straight away have not been living as a Christian should, or if you desire prayer or want to know more about the Church of Christ, whatever your desire is, call us at 734-482-4922. Or you can call the church building and leave a message, 734-483-1864. We are here to assist you in any way we can. We have two more songs and a closing prayer.
Oh. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, for the blessings that we have received, for carrying us through this pandemic thus far. We pray that you'll be with us through the end. Pray, dear Father, that you'll be with this congregation and congregations around the world, that will not lose faith, that will not lose hope, but they will be steadfast as we look forward to being able to come together in person to worship with one another. Pray, dear Father, that you'll keep us from despair and loneliness. Help us, dear Father, to put our minds on things above. We thank you, dear Father, for the men and women of this country and the countries around the world who willingly make sacrifice and put themselves in harm's way to heal others. We thank you, dear Father, for these people. We thank you, dear Father, for the faithful of the flock who are staying with the leadership, staying with their brothers and sisters, and looking after one another. We pray, dear Father, for the leaders of our state, the leaders of the nation, the leaders around the world, that they may work together in harmony, not to bicker, but to see if they can find ways to improve the lot of man. We thank you, dear Father, for your book, the Bible, that we may study it from day to day and use it to guide us through our lives. We thank you for the ministers and all those who are willing to work to provide the word that we may live not only in this day happily, but have a home with you in the hereafter. We ask, dear Father, that you be with the sick of our number, with those who are suffering in nursing homes and in hospitals. Cheer them up, dear Father, and be with them forever. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.